Employment and unemployment. Defining unemployment. The unemployed are able, available and willing to work at the going wage rate, but cannot find a job despite an active search for work. This last point is important, for to be classified as unemployed, one must show evidence of being active in the labor market. Measuring unemployment. The claimant count measure of unemployment includes people who are eligible to claim the Job Seekers Allowance, JSA. The claimant count is a head count of people claiming unemployment benefit. The data is seasonally adjusted to take into account predictable seasonal changes in the demand for labor. The labor force survey covers those who are without any kind of job, including part-time work, but who have looked for work in the past month and are able to start work in the next 2 weeks. The figure also includes those people who have found a job and are waiting to start in the next 2 weeks. On average, the labor force survey measure has exceeded the claimant count by about 400,000 in recent years. Because it is a survey, albeit a large one, and one that provides a rich source of data on the employment status of thousands of households across the UK, there will always be a sampling error in the data. The labour force survey uses the internationally agreed definition of unemployment, and therefore best allows cross-country comparisons of unemployment levels. No measure of unemployment is completely accurate, since there are some people out of work, but looking for a job who are not picked up by the official statistics. An example of this are discouraged workers who may have been out of employment for a lengthy time, and who have lost the will and the motivation to keep applying for jobs. Many of them may decide to leave the formal labour market and look to earn extra income through "cash in hand" jobs in informal parts of the economy. Economically inactive people are not actively looking for work. Some of the reasons include the need to look after elderly or infirmed relatives, parents who are full-time carers for their children, the retired. The most recent changes in claimant count and labour force survey measures of unemployment are summarised in the table below. Types and causes of unemployment. Frictional unemployment. Frictional unemployment is transitional unemployment due to people moving between jobs. For example, redundant workers or people joining the labour market for the first time, such as university graduates, may take time searching to find the work they want at wage rates they are prepared to accept. Imperfect information in the labour market may make frictional unemployment worse if the jobless are unaware of the available jobs. Incentives problems can also cause some frictional unemployment, as some people looking for a new job may stay out of work if they believe the tax and benefit system will reduce the net increase in income from taking work. When this happens, there are disincentives for the unemployed to accept work. This is known as the unemployment trap. In short, frictional unemployment happens when it takes time for the labour market to match the available jobs with those people seeking work. The chart below shows the monthly level of unfilled vacancies in the UK. For most of the current decade, there have been between 500,000 and 700,000 unfilled vacancies in the economy, a pretty high level. Note though that the slowdown and recession has caused a steep decline in the number of available jobs. By the summer of 2010, there were fewer than 500,000 unfilled posts, set against a much larger pool of unemployed. The result is that the ratio of unemployed to job vacancies has grown, meaning that there are many more people chasing each available job. Little wonder the jobs prospects for people leaving school, college, and university in the summer of 2009 are at their worst for over a decade. Structural unemployment. Structural unemployment occurs when there is a long-run decline in demand in an industry, leading to a reduction in employment because of international competition. Globalization is a fact of life, and inevitably it leads to changes in the patterns of trade between countries from year to year. Britain has probably now lost forever its cost advantage in manufacturing goods such as motor cars, household goods and audiovisual equipment. Indeed, our manufacturing industry has lost over 500,000 jobs in the last 5 years alone as production has shifted to lower cost centers, for example in Eastern Europe, and emerging market countries in Far East Asia. Many of these workers may suffer from a period of structural unemployment, particularly if they are in regions of above average unemployment rates, where job opportunities are scarce. Structural unemployment also exists where there is a mismatch between their skills and the requirements of the new job opportunities. Many of the unemployed from manufacturing, for instance in coal, steel and engineering, have found it difficult to find new work without an investment in retraining. This problem is occupational immobility of labor. Cyclical unemployment. Cyclical unemployment is involuntary unemployment due to a lack of demand for goods and services. This is also known as Keynesian unemployment. When there is a recession or a slowdown in growth, we see a rising unemployment because of plant closures, business failures and an increase in worker layoffs and redundancies. This is due to a fall in demand leading to a contraction in output across many industries. An important evaluation point to note is that the economy does not have to go into recession for cyclical unemployment to start rising. Many jobs can be lost even in a mild slowdown phase, and one reason for this is because of rising productivity. Say for example that a country's GDP is expanding at 1% a year, but output per worker is growing by 3%. This means that the same national output can be produced using fewer workers. The diagrams below provide a way that you can show the impact of recession on labor demand. The relationship between national output and demand for labor: when there is an economic recession or slowdown in growth, the demand for labor may fall as businesses look to cut back on employment in order to control costs. The result is a fall in employment and a rise in cyclical unemployment. This will affect some industries more than others depending on how severe the recessionary effects are in a particular sector of the economy. Real wage unemployment. This can happen when real wages are above a market clearing level, leading to an excess supply of labor. Some economists believe that the minimum wage risks creating unemployment in industries where competition from low labor cost producers is severe. But here is relatively little evidence that the minimum wage has created rising unemployment on the scale that was feared. Hidden unemployment. Undoubtedly, there are thousands of people who by any reasonable definition are unemployed, but who are not picked up by the official statistics. Many have become discouraged workers and have stopped actively searching for work. 81 million young workers unemployed in 2009. The global financial and economic crisis has spurred a record increase in youth unemployment, according to a new report from the International Labour Organization. This deeply important structural issue for the UK and many other labour markets is not confined to developed nations. In developing/emerging economies where 90% of young people live, youth are more vulnerable to underemployment and absolute poverty. The ILO reports that 152 million young people, or about 28% of all the young workers in the world, worked in 2009, but remained in extreme poverty in households surviving on less than $1.25 per person per day in 2008. Tutor 2U Economics Blog, August 2010. River, a mini case study in structural unemployment. Milligram River went into administration on the 8th April 2005, when the car deal with the Chinese company Shanghai Automotive Industry Corporation, SAIC, collapsed and the company did not have sufficient cash to continue trading. The subsequent closure of the Longbridge site in the West Midlands on 15th April 2005 led to the loss of almost 6,000 jobs. Over 3 years later, the vast majority of the people formerly employed at the Milligram River plant have found new work, but for many it has required periods of retraining, perhaps a move to another part of the country, and not always a job offering the same wages as before. In April 2008, a BBC News report claimed that of the more than 6,000 workers who lost their jobs, only 139 were still registered as out of work. Plans for mass car manufacturing to return to the Longbridge site seem to have fallen through. But an ambitious regeneration programme has been launched. It will cost £750 million, and could create up to 10,000 jobs. The consequences of unemployment. High unemployment creates costs for individuals, and for the economy as a whole. Some of these costs are difficult to value and measure, especially the longer-term social costs. 1. Loss of income. Unemployment normally results in a loss of income. The majority of the unemployed experience a decline in their living standards, and are worse off out of work. 2. Negative multiplier effects. The closure of a local factory with the loss of hundreds of jobs can have a large negative multiplier effect on both the local and regional economy. One person's spending is another's income, so to lose well-paid jobs can lead to a drop in demand for local services, downward pressure on house prices and "second-round employment effects for businesses supplying the factory or plant that closed down. 3. Loss of national output. Unemployment involves a loss of potential national output, and is a waste of scarce resources. If some people choose to leave the labor market permanently, because they have lost the motivation to search for work, this can have a negative effect on long-run aggregate supply and damage the economy's growth potential. 4. Fiscal costs. The government loses out because of a fall in tax revenues and higher spending on welfare payments for families with people out of work. The result can be an increase in the budget deficit, which then increases the risk that the government will have to raise taxation or cut public spending on public and merit goods. 5. Social costs. Rising unemployment is linked to social deprivation. For example, there is a relationship with crime and social dislocation, including increased divorce rates, worsening health and lower life expectancy. Regions that suffer from persistently high unemployment see falling real incomes and a widening of inequality of income and wealth. A PPF diagram is a good one to draw to show how unemployment leads to an inefficient allocation of scarce resources. The economic and social costs of unemployment depend crucially on I. how many people are out of work, and how productive they might have been, II. the length of time they remain jobless. A key issue of concern at the moment is the problem of long-term unemployment, that is, people out of work for at least 6 months. The chart below tracks what has been happening to long-term unemployment in the British economy in recent years. Policies to reduce unemployment. Which policies are likely to have most effect in creating new jobs and getting more people into work? Distinction can be made between demand-side and supply-side policies to improve the working of the labour market, in matching people to the available jobs and to the changing demands and requirements of different industries. 1. Reducing occupational immobility of labor. Immobility of labor is a cause of labor market failure and structural unemployment. Policies such as the Modern Apprenticeship Scheme aim to provide the unemployed with the new skills they need to find fresh employment and to improve the incentives to find work. For many years, the paucity of workplace training has been seen as a weakness in the labour market, with evidence of a persistent skills gap in the UK economy. 2. Reducing the geographical immobility of labour. Many people have the right skills for the job vacancies, but factors such as high house prices, family and social ties and regional differences in the cost of living make it difficult and sometimes impossible to change location in order to get a new job. 3. Benefit and tax reforms. To some economists, a policy that reduces the value of welfare benefits might increase the incentive for the unemployed to take a job. It is rare that the root cause of someone staying out of work is the prospect of out-of-work welfare handouts. Instead, targeted measures to improve people's incentives, including the linking of welfare benefits to participation in genuine work experience programs, which is part of the New Deal program, or the introduction of lower marginal tax rates for people on low incomes might by contrast have a noticeable impact. The Labour government abolished the starting rate of 10% for income tax in 2007. 4. Reflating aggregate demand. Deliberate Keynesian-style stimulus to demand can be seen as an active labour market policy during a deep recession. This might include increases in government capital spending or lower direct taxes to boost disposable income. Both are described as a fiscal stimulus. Many governments during the current downturn have turned to fiscal policy as a way of creating new jobs. Some economists refer to such programs as providing backward shovel-ready jobs, typically involving construction projects that are labor-intensive. The hope is that extra spending on new roads, housing and other infrastructure projects will lead to a strong positive multiplier effect on output, incomes, and jobs. 5. Employment subsidies, demand-side policy. Government subsidies for businesses that take on the long-term unemployed will create an incentive to increase the size of their workforce. During 2009, a number of business organisations lobbied the British government to introduce national insurance holidays for smaller businesses. Evaluation on unemployment policies. Eurozone and UK unemployment. Percentage of the labour force, seasonally adjusted. 2011 forecast is from the OECD. 1. Unemployment policies are designed to A. improve skills/human capital of the workforce, so that people can be flexible as the economy changes over time. B. provide the right incentives to look for and accept work. C. increase the occupational and geographical mobility of labor. D. maintain a sufficiently high level of demand for goods and services, so that the economy is creating new jobs. E. encourage entrepreneurship and innovation as a way of creating new products and market demand, which will generate new employment opportunities. 2. There are always cyclical fluctuations in employment. If growth can be sustained, and monetary and fiscal policy can avoid a large negative output gap, then it should be possible to create a steady flow of new jobs. 3. An economic recovery in 2010-11 will create new jobs. The issue is whether people in the labour market have the right skills, qualifications, and experience to take them. 4. Demand and supply-side policies need to work in tandem for unemployment to fall. Simply boosting demand, if the root cause of unemployment is structural, is an ineffective way of tackling the problem. If demand is stimulated too much, the main risk is rising inflation. 5. Full employment does not mean zero unemployment. There will always be some frictional unemployment. It may be useful to have a small surplus pool of labor available. Most economists argue that in a modern economy there will always be some frictional unemployment of perhaps 2-3% of the labor force. 6. There are still large regional differences in unemployment levels which causes significant economic and external costs. Urban and regional regeneration can take decades to achieve. Economists agree that unemployment cannot fall to zero, since there will always be frictional unemployment caused by people moving into the labor market and others switching between jobs. Full employment might be defined as when the labor market has reached a state of equilibrium, that is when those who are willing and able to work at going wage rates are able to find work. After the recession, will there be a jobless recovery? Will the UK labour market be able to generate enough new jobs to sustain the recovery? There are plenty of doubts surfacing at the moment, and we might be finding ourselves on the cusp or yet another surge in structural unemployment. Here are some reasons why, despite our much vaunted flexible labour market, a jobless recovery is on the cards. 1/housing under pressure. There is the possibility of a continued contraction in traditionally labor-intensive industries such as construction. New house building remains at very low levels, and commercial building projects are taking time to come on stream after the global financial crisis. 2/confidence waning. Consumer confidence has taken a turn for the worse in recent months. Household budgets are under pressure from many different angles: higher taxes, rising prices, evidence of a second round fall in property prices, and continued low interest rates for people dependent on interest as income. 3/fiscal pain. Many jobs may be lost from in businesses affected by planned cutbacks in government spending. The Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development has published some pessimistic confidence surveys and warns that perhaps 600,000 jobs will go in the public sector by 2015. 4/credit crunch 2.0. We are not yet through the credit crunch. Economists such as Edmund Phelps in the United States argue that a reduction in risk appetite in banking has caused a contraction in the supply of capital to those businesses which are seeking to innovate, and therefore to expand and create new jobs. 5/sterling gains ground. The rising value of sterling against other currencies may dampen export demand, production, and jobs. 6/wait and see. Much of the heavy labor shedding during the recession is probably over, but this does not mean that businesses start to hire extra workers straight away. They can offer existing employees longer hours if demand picks up, and many firms will be looking closely to see how strong the recovery is before committing themselves to extending their workforce. 7/investment slow to recover. Business investment may lag any recovery in aggregate demand. Investment in new capital goods helps to create new jobs in industries manufacturing equipment and supplying the building trade. Tudor 2U Economics Blog, August 2010. 101B1C, 2A2B2C, 3A3B3C, 4A4B4C, 5A5B5C5D, 6A6B, 7A7B7C7D, 8A8B8C, 9A9B9C9D.